We hope and trust that you will find this Torah in Motion program meaningful. Through these programs, Torah in Motion encourages discussion, debate, and education about the most important issues facing Jews and Judaism today. Together, we can focus on creating religious commitment through an honest and sophisticated encounter with topics that are relevant to being Jewish in the modern world. For more information about this and other Torah in Motion programs, please visit the website at www.torahinmotion.org.
I was thinking this is our 13th year that we have run the program on Tisha B'Av. And 13, at least for a boy, is the age of transformation. If we go to a new stage, you go from being a child to an adult. I don't know exactly what the connection is, but maybe, perhaps, as already a few of the speakers have alluded to, our generation is somehow different, the new generation. It's time we move to the next stage. That next year we can have Tisha B'Av in Yerushalayim, and you know what? Even if there isn't a Beit HaMikdash, we can still, there is something to being, I would think, only once in my life, when I was 9 years old, did I spend Tisha B'Av in Israel. All the times I was in Israel, I was home. I was back in Toronto in the summer, but perhaps in the sleuth of all these years of the program and all the speakers who've come and shared their knowledge and inspiration, Hashem should have mercy on us. We can move in the next stage of our redemption, just by way of introduction. The title of my talk is, and since I made up the titles of all the speakers, they tell me what they want to speak about, but so they have an excuse if they don't follow exactly what it says. I don't have such an excuse, because I made up my own title. Because of the sin of weight, Amalek comes. So what I want to focus on is what I'm sure a lot of you are aware, we'll see in a moment inside in the Chumash, the connection or the smicha parshiot, that in Kitetze, the Torah writes the mitzvah of having honest weights right next to the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. Now, what exactly is the connection? Why does the Torah put one next to each other? It doesn't seem to have any connection. The Torah tells us the second last parsha in Kitetze, which has more mitzvot than any other parsha in all the Chumash. Lo yelechap is Pikischa, Evan Ba'aven Dolau Ktana. You cannot have two stones in your pocket, a big stone, a big weight, or a small weight, a 16-ounce pound and a 15-ounce pound. You shouldn't have in your house an extra prohibition, one to carry out in the marketplace, and one to have in your house, Eifa Veifa. Another form of a measure, Gdola Uktana, a big one and a small one. Evan Shleima V'Tzedek Yelach. You must have a complete, a full, a shalem, the notion of peace and completeness. Yelach, you have to have for you a fa shleima v'tzedek yelach. Again, there seems to be a slight repetition in the enforcement. Then the Torah adds an interesting expression: leman yarichun yamecha al adama asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. Why do you have to do this? In order that you'll have a long life on the land that God has promised us. We know the promise of a long life is extremely rarely used in the Chumash. The two famous examples are Kibud Av V'Em, honoring parents, and Shiloh HaKan, which is earlier in the Parsha, the sending away of the mother bird. But we know on Mezuzah, we say it in the Kriyat Shema, L'man Yirbu Yimechem, Yimei B'Nechem, is right after the Mitzvah of Mezuzah. There are a few other places, but it's very rare. It's very, very rare we're promised a long life. But here, the Torah promises us, For the purpose, you have honest weights, you'll have a long life, not just a long life, al hadama, in the land of Israel, asher Hashem Elokecha, you'll have in the land that God has given us. So somehow, the mitzvah of honest weights is connected to the mitzvah of our sojourn, of our ability to live in Eretz Yisrael. This is very reminiscent of the beginning of yesterday's, of the laning, where Moshe begins his farewell speech to Klal Yisrael. So we all know, how does he start? A reminder of Chet HaMeraglim, because that is the sin their parents had committed 40 years earlier. So he's warning them, do not make the mistake of your parents. It's not exactly his first thing he said. That only starts in verse 22. What starts earlier is the mitzvah, we spoke about it already earlier in the morning for those who were here, the mitzvah of setting up a honest
honest judiciary, a proper legal system. Lo takiru panim b'mishpat. You cannot have any biases in a judiciary. Apparently, the first thing, before Chet HaMeraglim, before you get to Eretz Yisrael, before you can even talk on the Meraglim, is the notion of honesty and integrity in our court system. So to hear, weights is not just a mitzvah. Of course it's a mitzvah everywhere, but there's a connection. We cannot set up a state if the state is based on people who do not have a complete sense of honesty and integrity. So that's what it says in the Chumash. You have to have an honest weight so you can have a long life in the land of Israel. Not the connection I would have said on my own. Then the Torah continues with an expression that's even more striking. What happens if you don't follow this? How bad is it? Okay, where is it? You know, if you eat on Yom Kippur, that is pretty bad. Adultery and murder are the big three, are the cardinal sins. Sinat chinam is as bad, is worse. Where does the sin of honest weights, where does it fall in the category? Is it as bad as Shabbos or Kashrut? So, we don't know exactly. But what it says in the Torah, Ki toavat Hashem Elokecha kolo se'ela. Because it's a toeva, an abomination. Now we know, everybody here knows the term toeva is used by homosexuality, because in the whole debate about homosexuality, it says in Torah it's an abomination. The worst thing in the world, we can't have any tolerance for homosexual. Whatever the case, whatever the attitude, that's not a discussion now. Here the Torah uses the same expression. It's used one or two other places in the Chumash too, by the laws of Kashrut. It's also used for certain of the laws. Ki toavat Hashem. One who has a dishonest weight is an abomination. At least equal to bad as homosexuality. So let's say it's as bad as homosexuality. Homosexuality, we know one has to give up one's life rather than engage in homosexuality. But even though I'm not saying that on a halakhic level one has to give up one's life rather than have a dishonest weight, but in God's mind, it equals to the sin, or the same expression that is found by homosexuality is found here on the sin of dishonest weights. Kolos Abel. Whoever does this act of corruption, this is what's going to happen. Important set of four verses, or three verses, that we may not pay attention to because, as I mentioned, it's in the parsha that has 73 other mitzvot. So it gets lost in the shuffle. There's so many other it takes. If the rabbi speaks on one mitzvah a year, it has to be in the shul a long, long time. It's the end of the parsha. So it's the 73rd mitzvah in the parsha. It goes a long time till you actually hear about it. So we may lose sight of it a little bit. The next passage, we all know, we read it, and we read it 18 times, in this nusach, and that nusach, and this havara, to make sure, God forbid, we shouldn't hear every word and vowel in every type of pronunciation. Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did. This is what we read the week leading up to Purim, also, of course, but it's here in Ki Teitzei. But derech metzeichem mitzrayim, on the way you left Egypt, asher korcha b'derech, the word korcha is very hard to translate, and Rashi has three explanations, which we'll get to one of them. Asher Korcha, the art scroll translate, happened to you on the way. It happened when you were on the way, when the week, you were very weak from leaving Egypt, and Amalek had no fear of God. That when God will grant us peace from our enemy, that's interesting. Also, the expression in the land that will have an inheritance in the land of Israel, et zecher Amalek. However, wipe out the memory of Amalek mitachad Hashemayim, from underneath in the heavens. Lo tishkach, don't forget. Remember, don't forget to wipe out Amalek. So, as clearly we all know that this is not a coincidence, the two things are put together. So Rashi already, don't have to go so far. You look into any Chumash. So Rashi already tells us what the connection is. It's obvious. You can all figure it out. Im shakarta b'midot u'b'mishkalot, if you lie, if you cheated in your weights and measures, hevi do'eg migurei ha'oyev. You better be nervous. You have to worry. You have to have lots of worry from the growl of the enemy. Shenemar Mosne Mirma Torabat Hashem. Quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, and he says, so Rashi tells us, you know why it's written? You cheat in your weight, that's when Amalek comes. Well, you want to know why there are tragedies, why Amalek attacks the Jewish people? because we cheat on our weights. We're not honest in our business dealings. This is a very powerful statement. If we stop and we think about it just for half a minute, what that means. That, again, Amalek, which is the symbol of evil, the only nation we are commanded to eradicate. Every other nation, to eradicate every vestige of Amalek. Our sages teach us, as long as Amalek exists, the seat of God is incomplete. Ki yada kesya, that we say in Beshalach. It's not written a kisei. It's not written a chair. The chair of God is incomplete as long as Amalek. Amalek does not allow God to emanate in the world. Why? Because we're dishonest in our weights and measures. That's what I don't say it. I'm quoting Rashi. This is exactly what Rashi says. What we have to try to understand is, what is the connection? What exactly, it's very nice, because we cheat in our weights and measures, we have Amalek. Why? Why not say, because you don't have emunah in God, or you mechal Shabbos, whatever. Because of sin achinam, Amalek comes. Why not? Why do we say, because of the sin of weights and measures? I'm going to give perhaps a couple of approaches. They're all connected, really. It's Benetziv, the great Rosh Yeshiva in Valashin in the last half of the 19th century, quotes the Gemara, a very very startling Gemara in Bava Batra. The Gemara in Bava Batra, Pecher Amud Bey, tells us the sin of false weights, here the sin we have described in Torah, is worse than the sin of sexual immorality. The punishment, or kasheh onshan, the punishment for engaging in false measures and weight, it's worse than engaging in adultery. What it says in the Gemara. So he finds that a puzzling statement. It's very strange. Adultery is one of the big three. You have to give up one's life. This is not the Herod V'al Yavor here. So we've already seen, we can see how harshly and the words used in the Torah. But what exactly is the connection? So he explains that this is important in general. That the three big sins, the three cardinal sins of Judaism, represent three basic ways we all sin as Jews. The first one, idolatry, avodah zarah, is representative of all sins that show a lack of belief in God, or a lack of belief in the acceptance of His Torah, the divine origins of the Torah. That's represented, the worst form of that lack of belief is expressed in idolatry. But as Rabbi Skolbeck said, I think it was you, you can be a firm atheist. It's very true. You can be an atheist with all the mitzvot in the Torah, but the height of that sin is idolatry. The sin of adultery, sexual immorality, represents all sins of lust and desire. You know, a passion and the lusting we have. So we know how sexuality, how difficult it is to control. We look around what goes on in the world, the sexual breakdown. This, of course, we know is the warning of the Torah when it says we're not to follow in the ways of Egypt. The thing that's pointed out is sexual immorality. This is the reading on Yom Kippur afternoon. Yom Kippur afternoon, the holiest day of the year, who you can marry and who you can't marry. And it begins, do not follow in the abominations of the people in Egypt, sexual immorality. But that's the avi avot. That is the height of all sins of lust and desire and passion, but again, it encompasses many other sins. Murder represents sins that are done in anger. Get mad at somebody. So you get mad at somebody, so I'll cheat you, I'll hit you, I'll embarrass you. So the worst form of anger is expressed in murder. So these three being the worst forms, those are the ones we have to give up our life. But these are the basics of all sins. Intellectual questioning, we don't have a true belief in God, our passion and our anger, which maybe are connected a little bit. So he says something, so then Steve goes on to say, that what does it mean when a person cheats on weights, when he has dishonest weights? So which of the three categories does it fall into? So is it lust? Is it anger? It's very hard to say it's anger, not anger. Is it lust and desire? It's probably a little bit of that. His lust after money, his desire for money. But he classifies it as a form of idolatry. That the sin of dishonest ways is part of idolatry. Why is it part of idolatry? Why is it part of idolatry? Anybody want to? It's late in the afternoon, you know, if people need a break. Yes, I can't see who it is, but loud. Right, that's the very basic answer, very simple, correct, basic answer. We do not have faith in God to provide for our sustenance. To develop it a little bit, the Gemara tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, God determines how much money everybody makes. When we come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, that's one of the things he writes in the book, how much money we're going to make in the year, with two exceptions. What are the two exceptions? How much money we spend on guests at our Shabbos table. I believe the hafnasa, the money we spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so if you invite 10 extra people who don't have a place to go, it won't cost you anything. It may cost you now, God will make sure you get it back. And the other thing which is very hard to quite see is the money we spend on the Torah education. The tuition we pay, we get back. I don't know how exactly, but that's what it says. But that's what, there is a notion. The government gives back now, a little bit new after all these years. But the amount of money we earn all year is determined on Rosh Hashanah. So, of course, when one cheats, one means you don't believe what God has determined on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just you don't have faith in God. That's true, you don't have faith in God. But it's more than a lack of faith in God. It means you don't trust God. In other words, I'm going to outsmart God. God has determined I'm making X thousand dollars a year. I'm going to outsmart God. I'm going to outsmart God and do more. This, of course, is the pshat, and we speak about this all the time. Who talked on the fourth question? Let's see, Pita Yeshua. Was that also you? No. Another speaker spoke on the fourth question in our final exam, right? The final exam was mentioned after 120 years. So question number four, it's Sipit Eli Yeshua. Did you look forward to our redemption? So question number one, you all know, is Nasata V'Natata Be'emuna. Did you engage in proper business, in business practices? Masa U'matan, the give and take. Was that done in faith, in honesty, and integrity? That's question one. Most people don't get to question four. But you have here question one, Nasata V'Natata Be'emuna. But the word Be'emuna, what does Emuna mean? So that's what it means. Did you conduct your dealings Be'emuna? It doesn't mean it doesn't only mean with integrity. Did you have Emuna in God? Did your business dealings show that you have Emuna in God? Nasata V'Natata Be'emuna. Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shalema. I believe in there's one God, the one God who determines how much money I'm going to make. So the Netziv uses this to explain that honest weights is idolatry. It's the same thing as idolatry. That's what idolatry is. I don't believe in God. I do my own thing. I do whatever I want. I don't have a person who's telling me, the center of my life, what I must do. So therefore, this is worse. This is the worst sin. He says that idolatry is worse than sexual immorality in the hierarchy of the three sins, and it's the whole point of Judaism was eradicating idolatry. Of course, we're against sexual immorality, but when we think of Avraham Avinu, we don't think of sexual immorality. Avraham Avinu was the ethical monotheism. So the basis of Judaism is the eradication of idolatry, of false notions and beliefs. And the Rambam puts Hilchot Avodah Kohanim in Sefer Mada, in the book, The Foundations of Jewish Life, or in Yesodei HaTorah. That's where the Rambam has all the mitzvot of idolatry, and I believe they're 57 or 58. It's a pretty high percentage, 10% or so, of the mitzvot of the Torah relate to eradicating idolatry. So that is the avi avot. That is the worst sin that a Jew can have, and dishonest ways is just part of idolatry, therefore it's worse than sexual immorality. He also explains that in a certain sense, who was talking about this? I'm so confused. That when a sin is external to us and when a sin is internal to us. Hasina Finam is, who was talking about that? I remember, I'm sorry? It's not important who said it. It's what they said that's important. So that how you can murder, and because you're caught up in the passion of the time. One of the speakers was actually talking about that. You can get, okay, here you are, thank you. And you can do some of the sins, not because you're so evil, but because of the society at large. So the Nasid, he doesn't quite express it in that way, but with that background, it makes him, that's probably what he had in mind, where he says that idolatry is sort of intrinsic. A false belief system is intrinsic to who the person is. Who are you? What I stand for? What I do for all kinds of reasons, of social pressure and to look good, all kinds of reasons why I do things. But who I am, and Eric Rowley, when he was talking on the Akedat Yitzchak in Spain, so the Akedat Yitzchak said, the basis is emuna, our belief system. Whether you convert to Christianity like they did, he writes, it's secondary. The essence of the Jew is our belief system. That's more important. That's than sexual immorality. So therefore, he just assumes when the Torah writes here dishonest ways, it could be writing on idolatry. And of course, then it fits in beautifully. Because how does the Torah describe Amalek? Lo yareh Elohim. They didn't fear God. Idolatry. They had their own God. They didn't have any trust in God. The Torah is saying, you don't believe in God? Here's Amalek, they don't believe in God either. You want to go with the natural course of events? Fine, that's the way it's going to be. So that's the way the Nasid explains this notion, A, the connection of the Parshiot, between the connection about Amalek and false weights, and how false weights is really identical in many ways, perhaps with the exception that we don't have to give up our life for it, but it's identical to idolatry in the hierarchy of sins, and that will lead to Amalek. Who wants ice cream? I do, that's okay. Okay, he's in the wrong place, he doesn't know, but okay. I mentioned earlier that the expression Asher Korcha B'Derech, that the art scrolls translate, they happen to you in the desert. It's a very strange type of expression. And Rashi quotes from the Lashon of Kar, it's cold. Like you have a hot boiling bath, nobody will go near. And Amalek is the first one to stick his toe in the bath. So even though he got burnt, he was scalded and destroyed, he didn't know how to put his toe in the bath. If you know how to put your toe in the bath, I'll do it, you know, and I'll go in. And in other words, no one had the audacity to attack the Jewish people. So even though Amalek lost, even though they lost, didn't make a difference. Other people say, we'll learn from their mistakes and we'll win. That's one of the explanations he has. But the first explanation in Rashi is Lashon Mikre, which I guess is the way the art scroll is translated. A chance happening. Mikre. A coincidence. So what is and this of course, it ties into what we're saying. What is Amalek? What does Amalek mean? Amalek means Asher Korcha B'Derech. Amalek believes that everything in this world can be explained by cause and effect. Everything is a chance happening. There isn't any destiny. There's no glorious marches. Amalek tried to stop us going to Eretz Yisrael. Everything has its, everything is a coincidence. There are no miracles. Everything is a lashon of emikret. There's not God who has a divine plan. It's true, it's hard to see the plan. There's a step forward and two backwards and sideways. So it's very easy to make such a mistake that there isn't a divine plan, that everything in life is a chance happening, and with scientific explanation, which should has to blend in with the Torah, one can miss appropriate scientific explanations and also come up with the theory everything is a chance happening and which molecule hit this and everything. That's the notion of Amalek, and that's of course is the notion of idolatry. That's they are loyal Elohim, and that's the notion again of the false weight. But what I want to connect this to is a beautiful explanation I once heard. Rabbi Charlop, who is the head of the he's a Rebbe in Yeshiva University, we'll say it. He explains not only what is written prior to Amalek, but what is written here after Amalek. The next parsha after Amalek is what? What's the thing in the Torah after Amalek? Kitavo. Kitetse Kitavo. How does the parsha of Kitavo start? Vaya Kitavo Olaretz, you're going to come into land. We all know it. We all know it because we say it at the Pesach Seder. We read half of Rishon at the Pesach Seder every year. It talks the mitzvah of Bikurim. That's when the farmer, the farmer is going to take the first of the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, and he'll put them in, and he'll come to Balachta Lamakoma Sherif Gar Hashem Elokecha. Again, that expression. It's the third time we've seen it in a few psukim. The land that God has chosen. False weights, Amalek, and Bikurim all have this expression. The land that God has chosen. You'll dwell there. You'll go there. They try to stop us from going there. We'll go to that place, Yerushalayim, Batel HaKohen, we'll come to the Kohen, and then we'll give him a synopsis of Jewish history. This is what we do at the Seder. He got it, the Ayom LaShem Elokecha. We don't notice it as much, because at the Seder, after every word, we interrupt it with a whole paragraph. We say one word, and then a whole paragraph. But if you follow the flow, in the nice Haggadah, they print the entire Pasuk, like, in one color, and then they have the word and all the explanation. So we say, Arami Ovid Avi Vayerid Mitzmarma Vayagar Shambim Temat. However you translate Arami Ovid Ami, whether it's Lavan or Yaakov, we went to Egypt, Vayagar Shambim Temat, we went in small number of Yisham, Legwegadol, Atsum Varav. We became a great nation. And the Egyptians afflicted us, and we cried out to God. And God took us out of the land of Egypt with a strong arm and an outstretched hand and with miracles and with wonders. We all know this. What we don't say in the Haggadah is that He took us to the land of Israel. And now here are the fruits. Thank you very much, God. Thank you for bringing me to the land of Israel. And now the first fruits I'll offer unto you. So Rabbi Chalop asked, what's the connection between Amalek and Bikurim? It's a little bit harder. False weights in Amalek, already Rashi tells us. But what's the connection between Amalek and first fruits? So if we explain, based on what Rashi says, that Amalek is a Lashon Mikra, everything is by chance. There's no causes in history. It's random. One nation comes and a nation goes, a new empire arises. So how do we answer Amalek? Our claim to the land of Israel, this is not a fluke. Why are we in Israel? God gave us a promise. You're going to go down. 70 people will go down to Egypt. Then I'll take you out in great numbers. Our fruit that we eat in Israel, this is not a fluke that some pioneer came across a barren land and he planted a few orange groves. This is because this is the promised land that God has given. It's part of the historical destiny of the Jewish people. Egypt, Sinai, Israel. A three-step type of process. Slavery, is redemption, and our destination. That's what our answer to Amalek is. Amalek, Asher Kocha, we say Amalek, no. The Bikurim, this little fruit that we eat, this is because of the divine plan that God has given to us. And this is really what the snichat of the parshiot is. The lack of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead to Amalek, but that is the cause. But if you want to have the refuah to Amalek, when we realize we're part of a divine plan, that God has taken us out of Egypt, He took us out of Egypt, He sent us there, He took us there as a divine plan, this is how we answer Amalek. Now this point can be made perhaps sharper by the other place in the Torah where the mitzvah of having a false weight is mentioned. There is another place where the mitzvah of a false weight is mentioned. Anybody know where? Do you want to take Gustav in it? Not supposed to ask adults questions, but okay. I'm tired already. I need a break. So it's the end of chapter 19 in Leviticus, in Vayikra, the famous, most famous chapter in the whole Bible. You be holy. So there's a whole series of beautiful, beautiful commandments. Lifnei ver lo titein michshol, and pay your worker on time, and all the beautiful, the nice mitzvah to be nice one to another. The parsha though ends, it comes to an end, with the following mitzvah is mentioned. The b'chi aguri itchagir, about how you have to treat a stranger, a convert. Then it says in Torah, lo tasu avel b'mishpat. Do not have a perversion in justice. Bamidava mishkalu bimushara. In your weight, in your weights, in your measures of volume, weight. This is not the exact wording, but it's clearly the same mitzvah of a false weight. Mosnei tzedek, avnei tzedek. Your stones, your scales have to be 100% accurate. Eifat tzedek, behin tzedek, yelachem. Why? So before we saw, so we should have a long life in the land of Israel, and it shouldn't be an abomination. That's what it says in Ki Tetzei. In Vayikra, there's a slightly different switch, an approach put. Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Torah in its two places is linking it up to the two mitzvot that are connected. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. So now the mitzvah of weights is connected to Amalek, but it's also connected to coming out of Egypt, which is our answer to Amalek. We tell Amalek, Arami Yoved Avi. The Torah here alludes you. I know when you read the Chumash, the beauty of the Chumash, as Nechama Leibowitz always used to point out, the Torah does not tell us things in a direct way, often. The Torah hints at things. You have to know how to read between the lines, how to combine everything. That's the beauty. When you see the subtlety of the Torah, and it makes it a much more of a powerful type of a message. The mitzvot are in two different books, but what they're written with, they complement. It's not two separate types of mitzvot, they complement each other. Have honest weights, says, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. So Rashi, again, who else? So Rashi makes an amazing comment. Unbelievable. Asher Hoseiti Yadchem, what does Rashi say? Who knows? Al Minat Kein. For this purpose. God says, you know why I took you out of Egypt? If I were to ask you, why did God take us out of Egypt? So what would you all say? To give us a Torah. Right? Everybody knows. We count Sfiras HaOmer, so we can go into get a Torah, Kriyat Yam. So that's why God took us out of Egypt. That's not what it says here in the Chumash. Why did God take us out of Egypt? To have honest weights. That's why God took us out of Egypt. To be honest. Torah, don't worry about everything else. Mamon Har Sinai, that's okay. It's very nice. But if you don't have Al Minat Kein, and this, of course, is the meaning when Rashi says in B'Shalach Sham Sam Lo L'Chok U'Mishpat that there were certain mitzvot given prior to Har Sinai. One of those is Dini. The laws of justice, of honesty, was given prior to Sinai. You can't have Sinai. If you don't have honesty and weights, you can't have Har Sinai. God took us out of Egypt first and foremost of honest weight. This is what it says in Rashi. Al Minat Kein. No other way to translate what he says. If you have that, then we can talk on Matan Torah. If you have the honest way, then I will take you to Har Sinai. I'll give you a Torah. So, and Rosh Hashem Rafal Hirsch points out, this is the conclusion of chapter 19 in Leviticus. Kedoshim to you. Be holy. You also talked about a Naval Rishut HaTorah. You can be a disgusting person, as the Ramban says in the beginning of Kedoshim, with the permission of the Torah. These great mitzvah, what's the concluding chapter of the concluding message the speaker, God, is leaving us with? Honesty in our weights and measures. That's why I took you out of Egypt. To be honest, when you're honest, then you can be a holy nation. Rashi then gives a second pshat. Rashi says, perhaps Rashi found the first, pshat too startling. You know, whenever Rashi has two explanations, it means there's a weakness in both. If Rashi is satisfied with one explanation, he will never give you a second explanation. That's I'm sure you all know, it's a klal gadol in Rashi. Rashi only quotes two explanations. He doesn't really like either 100%. He likes them, but each one has a slight problem. So perhaps he was blown away by this concept. The only reason God took us out of Egypt is false weights. That's what we talk about all the time. So he gives us a second shot. I am the Lord your God. Between the blood or the tipa of the Bechor. Who is a firstborn of an Egyptian and who is a firstborn of a Jew? How would you know, walking in the streets of Egypt, who is Jewish and who isn't Jewish? And as the Medrash says, wherever the firstborn was, and if there wasn't a firstborn, so somebody else was killed, everything. So, I am God. You think you can hide, right? When you sell a pound of meat and it's only 15 and a half ounces, the chances of getting caught are extremely small. But now today, maybe, hopefully nowadays, they're a little bit are better of getting caught. But we know in the world as it existed for many thousands of years, your chances of getting caught were next to nil. And so you think you can hide. It's very easy to hide. just like the firstborn of the Egyptian thought he could hide, I will exact punishment. That's what Rashi says. I am Hashem Elokechem Emet. He's our God, our faithful God, Lihipareya, to exact punishment from one who dips his measures in salt. I guess that gives it an extra weight, whatever, to so you can go and cheat. This. Right, if the salt weighs it down a little bit, so you'll have slightly less than a pound on that side. Right. So God is telling us he will exact punishment from this from those who have dishonest weight. Now we think of Amalek as the one who prevented us from, who tried to prevent us from going to the land of Israel. Amalek, and as we left Egypt, he was our first person who we attacked. Amalek represents the ones who tries to stop the march of the Jewish people to our destiny. And the way to defeat Amalek is with honesty. Because what did Amalek do? Who did Amalek attack? Amalek attacked the woman and the children, the weak and the downtrodden. That's no way to fight a war. If you're going to fight a war, be a man about it. Amalek were lowlifes. They had no respect. Even nowadays, it's still amazing. The concept of laws of war. I don't understand it. What do you mean laws of, we're going to kill each other, but here's how we kill each other. There's certain rules how we can go and kill each other. But that's what Amalek broke, the laws of war, the Geneva Convention, they broke it of their days. That is who Amalek is. Amalek is the weak. What does it mean when you have a false weight? Who are you taking advantage of? The weak. Somebody comes in who doesn't know what a pound of meat is. The lady comes in, or the man comes in to buy a pound of meat. And of course, I'm giving the very old example of Torah. We can put on our modern, put it into modern terminology, in all kinds of scams and stock scams, etc. But we'll keep it now here on the simple way of the Torah. So what is weight? I mean, you're taking advantage of the poor. That's exactly what Amalek did. So it's not only is it the same, the lack of belief in God, you are adopting the character traits of Amalek when one tries to rip off somebody on these honest weights. We mentioned how the connection of Amalek and Bikurim, the farmer. Nasata v'natata be'emuna. Did you have faith in God when you conducted our business? Do we truly believe God is the master of how much money we earn? We have to earn it honestly. The Gemara there, when the Gemara is discussing the six questions on our final exam, so it's the Gemara in Shabbos. So the Gemara there links each one of the starim of the Mishnah to one of these. It's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Vayah emunat itech chosen yeshuot chachmat v'dat. I think, I don't remember the exact pasuk. And the Gemara is interpreting what the pasuk means. So they say, emuna is sefer zrayim. And itech, our time, is sefer moed, the time. What is emuna is sefer zrayim? What is zrayim? The laws of agriculture. This is emuna. Because we know that the one who has to have the most faith in God is the farmer. Because every farmer knows, no matter how hard he works, if it doesn't rain, he's up the creek. There's nothing he can do. So the farmer puts in back-breaking hours, long hours, and if the frost comes a week early, you're in big trouble. And we hear every year how this happens, and their prices are going up. The farmer is emuna. The Gemara equates emuna and Seder's rhyme. When we learn Seder's rhyme, Peya and Leket and Maestrot and Truman, Maestr Sheni and Bikurim, the end of Sefer's rhyme, of Mishnah's rhyme, of Seder's rhyme, is Bikurim, the laws of Bikurim. So it's not a coincidence. The mitzvah Bikurim coming after Amalek is this Vaya Emuna. This is the Emuna of the Jew is found in Sefer's rhyme. Working in the land is where we find the Emuna. And that perhaps is why that so much of the Torah is described in agricultural terms. You can say the practical reason, that's the economy they had in those times. But I think it's more to it. Our challenge is always to find how the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni and Leket Shichacha and Peah can be applied by an investment banker. How does an investment banker keep the laws of Leket Shichacha and Peah? Or Shemitah. It's a Shemitah year. So what, only if you're a farmer you get a year off to go and learn, not if you're like a lawyer? So that is the challenge that we have to find. But it could be the Torah puts everything in earthly terms, in agricultural types of term, because agriculture is the way you come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the one profession where the Yad Hashem is obvious, or it may not be obvious that it's the Yad Hashem, but it's obvious that we need another, we need help. We cannot do it on our own. Shimshon Rafal Hirsch gives an additional twist. I said he pointed out that the mitzvah of honest wages is the conclusion of the parsha of Kedoshim to you. So he explains, why is this honest wages worse than adultery? So he gives an answer, a very modern answer. I'd say a Bill Clinton type of answer. What does he say? He says that sexual immorality only affects the people who are engaged. And you can argue with him. You can argue with that. But he puts forth that it's a private affair. Right? It's a private matter. So there's adultery. You don't have to know about it. It doesn't affect you. As long as I do a good job with the economy and foreign affairs, who cares what goes on in the private life? So Hirsch accepts that in many ways, because there is some truth to it. Whether it's true in the presence of the United States is a different story. But there is something that people, your co-workers having an affair and you don't know about it, it's not going to affect you. It's not going to affect anything. With dishonest ways is a breakdown in social order that we all understand. So we can only interact with each other as human beings if we can trust each other. What's sinat chinam, if you want to tie it in chinam? Hatred. What is it? Why do people hate each other, right? So you did something wrong. I don't believe what you say. It's a lack of trust in the other person. When you cannot trust your neighbor, society is finished. There's a breakdown in societal order. So that's what Hirsch explains. Sexual immorality, yes, it's a terrible crime. You have to give up one's life. However, it's personal. It's private, and nobody knows about it. But once we enter in the area of dishonest weights and our social interaction, then we're in big trouble. We cannot put our trust in each other. And that's what the Gemara says, that it's worse. That the katsha onshan, the punishment for mishkalot, for dishonest weight, is worse. It's worse. I'll just quote. This is it's very nice for a speech on Tisha B'Av, but I'll quote here Choshen Mishpat, the most, you know, the one part of the Shulchan Aruch that is learned, it's the least learned, unfortunately, the laws of business dealings, how we get along, Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. You want to get close to God, have the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, have Choshen Mishpat. It was not a coincidence with Yosef Karo entitled The Laws of Business Ethics, a Choshen Mishpat. Anyway, it says here in the Choshen Mishpat, this is you can learn it in Yeshiva, sit down, a halakhic type of a discussion, not on Tisha B'Av. Onesh HaMidot HaMishkalot, the punishment for false weights and measures is Kashe Ma'od. Is very hard or very difficult. It is impossible. It is not possible for one who has false weights to return in tshuva. Repentance is impossible. And then he adds, this is in not a Musar Sefer, this is in the Shulchan Aruch. Vaharehu kekofer biyitziyat Mitzrayim. He is as one who denies the exodus of Egypt. God took us out of Egypt to have honest weights. One who doesn't have honest weights denies the exodus of Egypt. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoteiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt, the first mitzvah. Amalek is Lo Yareh Elohim. False weights, idolatry, you deny Egypt, you're Amalek. The only answer is to recognize the Bikurim, to recognize there is a purpose, agriculture, to develop our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Harehu kikofer b'yitziyat Mitzrayim. One who has false faith denies the exodus from Egypt. Now, why, of course, it's impossible for one to do tshuva is because you don't know who you stole from. If you have a person who cheats in his business dealings, I always say, who are you going to pay back? You don't know what you're going to call up everybody. It's what we say, by the way, on Lashon Hara also. It's very hard, if not impossible, because even if you know who you spoke negatively against, you don't know who heard it. You don't know how far it spread. So there are certain mitzvot. We can try as hard as we may, but it is impossible to do a complete tshuva. So that is the mitzvah, that is or the tragedy of the sin of false ways. Even when you want to change or to do tshuva, and when you want to, you can't do a complete tshuva. The only half a tshuva we have is to give tzedakah, to give money to a public good, a public need. We rip off the people in the public, we'll help people in the overall affairs in the public. But if the notion, perhaps, and perhaps this is the, you know, what I said is not, it's not a direct connection into Tisha B'Av, but of course I think it is very appropriate on Tisha B'Av when we think about mitzvot bein adam, between man and man, and the hatred, and so much of the hatred is caused by fights in the business world, and Amalek, of course, is stopping our first march in Eretz Yisrael. That is the beginning of Seyit HaMaragdim, on our way to Eretz Yisrael. We'll only have a Geula, the chair of God will only be complete when we wipe out Amalek. What does it mean when we wipe out Amalek? It means when we're honest, that's what it means. Well, we don't, there's nobody from Amalek left anymore. Who's from Amalek? Who do we have here? So it means that the Kisei of Hashem can only be complete when we understand why did God take us out of Egypt. He took us out to be honest. Then when we're honest, we can get a Torah. We can take that Torah and march to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beit HaMikdash. That's why. That's what it's all connected. But we have to realize that the bracha of Tisha B'Av, in a sense, as Rabbi Uziel spoke, I think in a very important message, the idea of uplifting. I mentioned it last night here, and I find Tisha B'Av on a personal note probably the most inspiring day of the year. I think I do even more so than on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, I'm in shul, I'm davening all day. It's not quite the same thing. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy or what, but I really think that if it's observed in the proper way, it's really, I don't like it. I'm not happy we have it. I'd be happy to have an ice cream, but I really do find it, you know, it perhaps is the most inspirational day of the year. But Tisha B'Av has the hope of tshuva. Dishonest ways, we don't have any hope of tshuva. Let us pray that we begin our tshuva in our honesty and integrity. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu said yesterday, before Chet HaMaragdim, before we can get to Eretz Yisrael, God took us out of Egypt only. Al Menach Kein, God took us out only so we can be honest. Once we begin our honesty, then we can talk about everything else. And next year we hope to meet the Yerushalayim HaBnuyah. I mean, and we'll start our movie in five minutes or so. It's downstairs. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, who's excellent, and Rabbi Yudin, and also. So I invite everybody who still has any strength to come downstairs and to learn.